Hello.
Hello. Welcome.
Welcome to the number one 8123 podcast on the internet.
Yes, this is true. Man. Today, we got Nick Santino on the podcast again. We did one in Brazil that was like a three-part podcast.
And this so one, this one's close to that long, too.
He has probably talked more on the podcast than anybody else, which is exciting because he has done a bunch, you know, so many different bands and involved the person, and you'll hear that, especially towards the end, it gets pretty deep. So,
yeah,
I was excited about it.
I always like talking to Nicky.
And he just put out a brand new song called Peace and Love, and you can listen to that everywhere. And he put up a pre-order on the 8123 site for that, so definitely check that out. Sure. And what's going on with you? What have you been up to?
Same shit, my man. Still in the shed. I feel like, yeah, I haven't left this room. Except it's gotten hotter, and I had to turn the AC on.
It has gotten hot.
I was trying to hold out as long as possible, and then it was like,
yeah,
it's 83 in the house, and I was like, fuck. I turned on the AC. It just sucks when you don't want to wake up sweating. I hate that.
No. Yeah.
So. But.
Yeah. I watched. Have you been watching the Michael Jordan documentary?
Yeah, it's fucking good. I only watched the first
two.
So good. Are you all the way caught up?
I've watched all four. Yeah, I've been telling Shakira, like, this is just something I'm really excited to watch. You know, I'm gonna hang out and take care of the baby all day, but can I just
give
have
an hour.
a couple yeah, hours to watch these? They're so good.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah. I kind of have to do that with Fallon too. I'll be like, hey, cause, Sean's still here. And, so we'll be like, hey, she's taking a nap. Let's watch an episode.
It's basketball time.
Yeah.
So, that's been exciting.
Yeah, well, yesterday, me and Fallon's anniversary is coming up. Our 8 year, I think it's eight year. And
a bunch of years.
Yeah, and she got me a little like Korean barbecue grill. So last night I like we were watching Dragon Ball Z, and I was cooking like bulgogi beef and stuff. It was awesome.
Nice.
Yeah. But,
heck yeah. Well, this is a good episode, so we'll just hop right into it. Us and Nick Santino. And, just before, here's a message from a sponsor, and then we'll get into it. You guys there?
Hi.
Hi.
I'm here.
This is Nick.
Hi, it's me. It's me too.
Guy. Hey, Gareth.
Nicky,
man.
What up?
Dude, just chilling, man.
That's cool. That's really cool.
What's going on?
Oh, you know, just hanging out.
Nice.
Enjoying the 100 degree weather that we got.
I know. Here it's like 30 and rainy.
Really?
It's 30.
Fucking. It might not be 30, but it's fucking cold.
It's hot as fuck here. And it came out of
39.
We went from like mid 60s to like 100 in like a week.
I saw that last week. I just checked, like, for some reason I opened my weather app and it went to Phoenix and it was all 100, 102. I was like, what the?
Yeah.
Already?
I mean, I was like looking to see if that's normal, and it's, I feel like it's not.
That's not normal?
I mean, not yet, right, Pat? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
No, this is a little soon.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
What the? But, whatever. You know,
The perks of inside
our houses anyway. So
yeah, right.
Doesn't really matter. But well, sick! You freaking got a new song.
Yeah, man. Awesome. Well, kind of, but yeah. I mean, it was just what? Like a demo that I was sending around, and then I was like, "Eh, let's release it."
So how did you do a bunch, or how many are on the EP?
So I basically, I mean, on that EP, there's gonna be four. I have a bunch more, but like those are the four that I thought like were fitting and like sounded good enough to, you know, put out, or at least for people to hear. And like, I kind of like the whole like raw thing of it too. Are you doing the podcast right now, or you haven't started yet?
We're going,
so
baby.
This is it.
We're going, baby.
Okay. I was like, I don't know what I should talk about.
Podcast is always going.
Yeah.
We're always listening.
No, I think it's always listening. It's always following. well, I mean, I think what it was really was like, I don't know, I wrote a bunch of songs, and every time I would sit down to like record it, it just would never, I don't know. It was either like I would, you know, run out of time and then like put it off and forget about it. And then I would go on to something else or whatever. But like just one day I was just sitting there with an acoustic, and for once, instead of playing them on piano, cause that's how I wrote them all.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, let me hear what these sound like on acoustic. And so I like picked up the acoustic and just opened like two tracks in Logic, and I just kind of started going. And that's actually what I was, before you called, I think I got the itch. I got the bug. So not coronavirus, but I have the music bug.
You got the music bug.
Cause I like wrote a new song like a week ago, and I've been trying to track it like the same kind of way. So I literally have a Logic file with like all four songs plus a couple extras, like all just in the same file rather than opening a bunch of different ones, you know, cause I had like the tracks all set and they all sound good. So it was just like, you know, I just kind of turn on the vocal mic, turn on the acoustic mic track, and just get going. So that's what I was doing before you called, working on another one.
That's
but like, yeah, these four just sounded like, I guess, kind of nice played on an acoustic. And I was like, these sound cool. And like, I wouldn't mind people hearing this version of, you know, the song or whatever. Yeah. I kind of think it could be cool to like re-record them down the road and whatever, but I like the way that they sound now. I mean, they're just very raw. Like, I didn't really mix or edit or anything. I just kind of slapped a little reverb and EQ'd a little bit, but that's it, you know?
That's awesome. Well,
yeah,
you were telling us that you you wrote everything on piano when we hung out in, what was that, in the fall?
Yeah, we hung out a few times.
Yeah, that's true. when we went to your house, and you were saying that you hadn't recorded anything. You were just playing them over and over so that you would just have them in your brain. And so when you actually went to go do it, it felt right.
Yeah. Like it just felt like I was performing and someone just so happened to catch it on a microphone. Like that's kind of how I envisioned the recording to sound. And I mean, these are like my version of that, me doing it at home in my garage. Mm-hmm. But like, that's, I don't know. I feel like every time I used to record, even just demos back in the day for Rocket or for even me, like, I got so lost in demo mode where like you lose track of the song. You know what I mean? Like you get too distracted by reverb sounds or like, you know, what kind of guitar sound you're going for, what the fake snare drum sounds like. And I just, you know, by 20 minutes in or like 2 hours into working on a song like that, I'm just like burnt out. I'm like, oh God, I don't even, you know what I mean? Cause you have so many tracks open and you're just kind of like, what am I even trying to do here? Mm-hmm. So I thought it was kind of nice just to like, I don't know, let the songs breathe and do their own thing and just, you know, record them like this. So it's kind of nice. But yeah, like I wrote them on piano, and I still think a couple of the ones that I have, like I'll probably record on, not the ones that are going to be on this one, but some more that I've written. I think I'll try to record a couple like piano ones, just because they were written that way. So like just to show, you know, how, because even me hearing these acoustic versions of them, like, it's like a completely different song in my head. You know, I'm just so used to hearing them coming out of like me shittily playing piano, you know, but not that I can play guitar any better, but yeah, I don't know. I like it though. I think they sound cool. And I'm glad that people are not like, hey, why did you put out a voice memo? You know?
No, I mean, I was just like, it sounds great. Awesome. It's crazy how different it is. Like you can make something so simple sound so great now with just
yeah
nothing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at, like, the track, because I have it open, like I said. I'm looking at the track, literally an acoustic track. Here, I can, like, let me see what I have. I have, just to see some. How many reasons? So I have, like, the vocal track and then an acoustic track. And I just played it live, like, you know, sitting there. And I think I fucked up a couple times. So I think, like, that Peace and Love one that I released, I think was, like, the third take that I liked, you know, because I fucked up the first two times. But I wanted to, like, that was, like, the one thing I wanted to do. I was like, I want to get one take through all the way because I want it to sound like, I don't know, a performance, you know, something, like, raw and organic. And I don't know. I think that kind of sounds, it almost fits the songs a little bit better, and rather than, like, spending all this time trying to, like, get them to sound perfect, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah. even when we helped you make that record, the last song on Big Skies was recorded kind of like that. On that tape,
yeah, totally. Tape machine. In the bathroom,
yeah. I remember filming you do that whole take, and I think it was one of the first or second of.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I feel like it was probably the first or second because I don't think we did that many times.
Yeah,
that many times.
Yeah, that was awesome.
It's just like I feel like that's what we're, I mean. Not to say there's anything bad about, you know, full production. Like I wish I could do all that stuff, but like I just, you know, my ADD brain is just so like. You know, I start opening up like some fake MIDI drum track and I'll sit there staring at the, you know, messing with like the sound of the snare for 2 hours. And I'm like completely just lost sight of the song in general, you know, because I'm so distracted by the other thing. So it was kind of nice just to open up three tracks. And I have like a Wurlitzer track on there too. So like it has a little low end whirly sound in the bottom, but that's literally it. There's nothing really else.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
What made you decide that this was the time to put the songs out? Because I mean, you've had at least a handful of things recorded for a bit now, right?
Yeah, I mean, I've had like these songs all kind of recorded in pieces, like on my phone, like voice memos, like, you know, as I wrote them, or if one day I was just like chilling in the garage and was playing through the song and I liked the way it sounded, like I'd open up my phone and hit record just to like get a new updated voice note of it, you know. And for the most part, I would just like text those to you guys, or like, I think John's heard every version of these songs. Cause I just, you know, I like to send them to my music friends because like you guys, you know, I don't know. I feel like you have an appreciation for even just voice memos, you know, where some people might not get just a voice memo, but mm-hmm. So like that, yeah, that's the most that I did with recording my voice memos. Sometimes like I'll go through them and I'll my notes in my phone or my voice memos in my phone. And there's like, you know, Peace and Love, just verse and chorus, because I hadn't written a bridge yet. And like, I don't know, I like it that way. It's cool. It kind of makes you like just get used to the song and remember it, so then, you know, when the day comes you actually sit there and want to record like a legit version of it, it's like effortless. You're not yeah. staring at lyrics, or you're not, you know what I mean, it's just like here's a performance and capture it the way that it should sound. And because how many times have you like, you know, wrote a song with your band or whatever, and you know, you sit on it for like a month and then you take it to the studio and you record it and it sounds great, but then like a little while later after playing it live or whatever, you play it kind of different, or like there's things that you wish you could have went back and done differently on the recording because you play it a little differently now, you know.
Oh,
where
totally.
I was kind of like, not that I had plans to play shows or anything, but I kind of wanted the songs to have that sort of, you know, feel to them too. Like I just wanted to get used to them, so I start playing them and like I get to the point where I'm not really changing them anymore. Like, this is the way the song sounds. So, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If that makes any sense. Because I know that I've done that so many times. Like, I record a song, and there's nothing wrong with the way, you know, the song ends up sounding. But, like, you just wish you had more time with the song itself before you took it to the, you know, studio or whatever.
For sure. Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's so many times where I just think, like, when, you know, once, even just like once we've been on tour for a month, like after an album comes out, and I just think like I could have recorded those drums first off way faster and way better if you know if I would have done it now, you know.
Yeah, like, if you just like played it for a while,
comes from being comfortable, and then you're like having to do it in front of people, so it's like
yeah.
the pressure kind of helps like make it so you don't have the option to like think about it anymore, or you're mm-hmm. gonna just fuck it up, where like you just kind of, you have to just like be in the moment now.
Yeah.
Well, Pat, especially with us recently, like on the last couple albums, like a lot of our parts are being built like as we're recording it, So it's like, you're,
yeah,
you're,
right. Like, and then, like, cause they sound good in the moment, yeah, you know, and I'm sure they sound good a month later, but like a month later you might be like, damn it, I wish I did this instead of that, you know?
Yeah, totally. It like, yeah, there's like, so you just would have played better or whatever yeah, the thing is. Like,
I
there
remember,
could be some, like a decision that could have been like a 10-second decision, but like you're throwing it on an album that's going to be heard by, you know.
Yeah, it's permanent. All of your, like, this is forever.
Yeah, it's like someone was like, wait, try this really quick. And you're like, all right. And then it gets, it's there and you're like, I would have never done that.
Yeah, right. Totally. I remember a few years ago, probably like, I think 2014, when Butch Walker put out, he had a record called The Spade, and he like, it was like a badass, he did it, Butch Walker and the Black Widows or whatever, and it was like a badass rock and roll record, and it like, he recorded the whole thing live with the band in the studio. But I remember watching this little documentary that he put out, I think it was called Out of Focus, and they, him and the band literally like set up a few shows in LA in some like dive bar club, and they would play, they would invite all of their fans to the show that was in the area, and they would just play through The Spade before they even took it to the, like, the studio, you know? So none of, nobody in the crowd knew the songs or the record because they just wrote them and they wanted to, like, get that live feel. So then when they go into the studio, they knew, like, you know what I mean? They didn't want it to change much. And I thought that was such,
yeah,
a cool, such a cool idea, you know? Because I'm sure fans going to that show were probably psyched to be able to, like, hear an album before it even touches, you know, tape or whatever. Like, kind of a cool idea, cool concept. And I mean, Butch is a badass, so he can just do whatever he wants anyways.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm gonna play a show full of songs you've never heard before, but you're gonna like it.
We did that and it's weird as fuck.
It was weird, but I mean, I feel like you just get that vibe because like you never know how those songs are gonna go over until you play them in a show, you know?
I guess
show atmosphere.
Ours was a different situation because we already had, it was when we did Pioneer, and
yeah,
we played the whole thing after it was recorded, so maybe it was it could have been better if it was like a test.
Yeah, I think with Butch, he like did it. They did it before they even took it to the studio, and they played a few shows,
yeah,
to kind of get like the vibe of how they're playing the songs live. So when he took it to the studio, like they still had that same live feel. And that record from front to back has such a badass like live feel, anyways.
That's dope. I gotta listen.
Yeah, it's a cool move. I like that a lot. And that's kind of, I mean, in a solo, you know, sad boy kind of way, that's what I did with these songs in a way, you know. I just had them, I've been sitting on them for so long, so like I'm used to how they sound, so it's like, now I should record them, you know.
Yeah,
taking up a track and press record. But I mean, I have a bunch more. I just thought these four were like, I didn't want to overdo it and I didn't want to do like a, you know, underdo it, so like I feel like these four kind of speak for the whole group of songs, I guess. Like these are four, I think, decent ones that kind of show a little bit of everything that I've been working on, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and how come you decided that right now was the time to put them out? Because what, it's been since 2016 since you put out anything, right?
Yeah, that was Beach Weather. It was,
yeah.
Yeah, 2016 was the last like music stuff, and then before that, like me under my own name was like 2014, which is crazy.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
6 years ago, that's wild.
Yeah.
That's wild. Like, where did all that time go? But I don't know. I think like I've just been home for so long, and there's nothing wrong with that. But like, I don't know. There's days where I want to play music, and then there's days where I don't want to play music. And I think it just during all of this quarantine and lockdown stuff, I've just been in my garage studio a lot more, and so like, I don't know, and I feel like I wrote that Peace and Love song. Well, I started writing it when we were flying to Brazil together last summer, and I came home, and then that's when I like really sat down and focused on writing it. And I was listening to like Power to the People from John Lennon, and like, you know, Give Peace a Chance, and all of these like old Bob Dylan songs too, like all just about peace and almost protest songs in a way, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like nobody really does that or writes that like literal kind of peaceful protest song anymore, you know. And I kind of like, I don't know, I just sat on it to the point where I was like, is this cheesy, you know? I wrote it and then I would show it to some people and I'm like, is this too, you know, peasy? Is this too like cheesy? Are people gonna be like, what's he doing? This is like, you know. And then as I think I just got comfortable with it, and then, you know, given the time when I wrote it, we were, the nation was in a completely different state, you know, back in August of last year. Like, you know, we were just, everyone was just mad about Trump stuff. So that was when I really wrote the song.
Yeah.
And now it just seemed kind of even more fitting, but not in like a political sense. It's just kind of like, feels it feels fitting for the times. Everyone's kind of losing their mind at home. People are going crazy. I think it totally does.
That was my first thought. I was like,
yeah, I didn't really do it to ride off the times and try to take advantage of it. I just felt like it was almost like, I don't know, I felt like it had to be done. I feel like even if I didn't want to do it, I felt like it was a good time no matter what. You know, I just feel like even though it's such a simple little song about peace and love, I just feel like a lot of people are confused and like they don't know what they're doing right now. Like a lot of bands that are don't have anything planned until, you know, maybe next year. Like it's crazy. So It's like, I know these people that are used to not being home that are now being forced to be home all the time probably feel like, what the hell is going on with the world? You know, everyone's fucking crazy. And like, I kind of just wanted to release a song that was like, hey, it's cool, man. We're all in this together. It's okay to be happy. It's okay to be fucking mad. Like it's okay to be whatever you want to be, you know, but maybe we can just do it all together and be, I don't know, make something about it, you know?
Totally.
Yeah, so I guess kind of going back. I mean, and I don't. I think the last time, you know, because we did do an eight hour podcast.
Yeah,
in Brazil. So I'm trying to make sure that we don't just repeat ourselves. But I think kind of we didn't really get into much of the time period like the very end of Beach Weather up until now, you know? So
yeah,
which is kind of, obviously a lot has happened in your life, but not a lot in the public eye, you know?
Yeah.
So kind of, I guess, take us back to like exactly where your headspace was at when you decided that Beach Weather was done and that you were kind of done with doing anything that like anybody else would hear or see, you know, for a while.
Yeah. I mean, when it all like really went down, and it wasn't really even my intention to like, you know, disappear and to not do it, but like it started to turn into that. Like it almost felt better to kind of take that, you know, step away and that breath. And it's like, I know you guys have been busy nonstop. Like, you know, you've done way, way, way more than I have over the last 13 years and or whatever it's been, you know. But there's still like, I don't know, there was something like, I just spent so much time in a van and like, you know, after a while, it just starts to eat up at you. Like literally, like, I feel like I wouldn't eat all day long. You know what I mean? Like being on tour, like I had such nervous anxiety, like I couldn't eat before I went on stage. So I would always have this like 4 hour window before shows where I couldn't eat, but then that would set it up around lunchtime. So like, the only meal that I would have would be at like 11 o'clock in the afternoon or in the morning, you know, and then I would go the whole day until like after the show at midnight when we're getting fast food, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I just felt like I felt like it's like hard to explain. It's like I felt like I was old, but also acting very young at the same time. You know, like I felt like I wasn't going anywhere. I feel like I wasn't moving anywhere. I just felt like all I was doing was like pissing myself off. You know what I mean? Like I felt like I was getting in my own way, and I felt like I couldn't like catch my breath, I guess, you know, and it's not even like we were doing a lot. It was just like, it just seemed like everything that I was doing at the time was just very overwhelming. And like, I never really could, you know, get my head up above water and catch my breath and like, you know, take a look around and like, okay, now let's go back down and do it again. I just think toward the end of Beach Weather, I was like, I don't know if I can, and then it was nothing to do with the guys. I mean, we all, we're in a group text like today, just throwing song ideas around and still fucking around with all that. Like it was nothing to do with that. It was just time, you know what I mean? And it was kind of unfortunate because like Reeve and Austin were so new to touring, so they were very excited about doing it, and for me to be like the grumpy old man and like kind of put a wet blanket on the whole thing, like I was just being just like, I was just like taking my anger out on everybody, and not like anything that they would do, but like I was just kind of sick of acting like that, you know what I mean? Like I was just sick of like being the know-it-all in the van, like, listen, boys, I've done this for so long. We're going to drive the van tonight to the hotel instead of hanging out and party. You know what I mean? Like, I just got sick of being a grumpy old man because I was just unsatisfied or unhappy with, you know, what was going on in, like, my personal life or just in my head. Like, that's the scariest part. It's like, there's, like, every person has, like, two people in you. You know, there's the person that you are and that your friends see and that your fans see and that, like, you know, the public eye see, and they like, and then there's the person that you are to yourself in your head that only you know about, you know? Oh, what I mean? Totally. Like those thoughts that keep you up at night, and like you're the only one that's ever heard those thoughts before. And so those thoughts and everything just started to kind of like take over, you know. And I just like our last Beach Weather tour was with you guys, so it wasn't even like we were on a miserable tour and I was just like, fuck this, I'm done. Like, that's the greatest tour to be on with you guys, like, you know what I mean? Like, those have always been the best tours. So like, so that, I think that's what really did it, was like I wasn't having fun in situations where I should be having fun, you know. And that's when I kind of just like, I don't know, there's only so many like meditation apps on the app store that you can download, you know, when you sit in the back of the van and you're paying $12 a month for some guy to like tell you to like breathe. You know, like I felt like I was doing that every tour. I would sit shotgun while someone was driving and I would have headphones in for a half an hour and I'd like do my best to just zone out the world. But like, I'd open my eyes back up and I'm like, oh shit, we still got 4 hours to go. You know what I mean? Like, it was.
And then
just,
you're mad again.
And then you're mad again. Yeah. Cause Reeve farts and you're like, what are you doing, Reeve? You know, it's like, it's just, it started to be like dumb things like, oh, we're not going to go to Starbucks today. Like, whoa. And then everybody would get mad. You know what I mean? Like, I just hated being that guy. Like, I never wanted to be that guy. And I know, and I just felt like the best way to describe it is I felt old, but I felt like I was still acting like a child. You know what I mean? And I was like, something here has to like, these two parts of me need to see eye to eye. Cause I can't be doing this, like, you know, physically being 28 years old, but mentally being 21 years old. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think at some point I was just like, I don't know how much I got left in me after this. Like, I think we were having that conversation after that tour and I was like, I don't know. It just got to the point where I would be home from tour and my anxiety would be through the roof because I'd be so not nervous, but just like anxious about, you know, the future. Like, okay, what tour are we doing next? And I would just like sit there and, you know, lose sleep because I was like, you know what I mean? Well, we have a tour coming up next month. And I feel like when I would have deadlines like that, or like, you know, dates that were in the near future that were coming up, like, I feel like I couldn't live my life, like my off time and my home time, because I was anticipating like going back on tour. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm sure you guys have gotten like that too, where you're home and you're just like, I can't really feel settled because I know I have to leave in 2 weeks to go away for another month and a half. And, you know, and I'm sure everybody's different. Everybody, you know, some guys in bands love touring. There's people that keep their stuff in storage lockers and don't even have a house because all they do is stay on tour all year, you know, and that's cool too. Some people can handle it. But I think like when you start to have those like battles with yourself, you know what I mean? Where like you're trying to present yourself as one thing, but your brain is telling you another thing. And it's like, that's not you. What are you doing? That's not you. Why are you doing these things? You know? And I think it was just a lot of that where I finally like, it was almost like my brain went into autopilot and it just took over and it was like, nope, you're staying home. This is done. You know? And I was like, but I want to, please. No, you know, but it also that year came at like an interesting time. Cause like me and Ree, we weren't married at that time, but I think we just got engaged toward the end of Beach Weather. And then that year, I mean, I was home and her grandfather died that year and she's like super close to her grandfather. So we were always, you know, doing his groceries and doing all that stuff, helping him out. And then he died in the summer. And then her grandmother was like 4 or 5 years into having like dementia. And so nobody was around to help her out because her husband died. And so it was just this weird, sad year where like, hey, I'm home from touring. Everybody else has to work. Like I'll help out with Nana. Like, it's not a problem. So like my whole 2000 and what year was that? 18, I think. Cause 17 was like when I came back from tour and I just kind of spent the whole 2017, just like, am I making the right decision? Am I making the wrong decision? Like, what am I doing? And then 2018, we kind of moved in with her grandmother just to kind of like, she needed it, you know, she needed the assistance. And so we did that. Well, I mean, I did that. I had to take, I'm not a nurse. I'm not a doctor. You know, I can help people out, but so I basically just became like a healthcare provider. You know, I was like taking care of a 85-year-old woman that like didn't remember her grandkids. It was sad, you know? So like, I think if anything, that kind of helped me shift my priorities to like focusing on family and focusing on like the people closest to me, you know, because I was like, how can I go back on tour when this is going on? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Or like this lady is depending on me to like make her breakfast and get her out of bed and help her to the bathroom and, you know, give her a bath. And it's like, I came from being some, you know, conceited asshole that was like, in front of playing in front of all these people, you know, and like feeding the ego to being like, you know, helping an elderly woman into the shower every day for a year, you know? So it was like, I think that really helped me, almost like humbled me in a way, you know what I mean? Like, as good as you got it, it's never really going to be, you know, that good. Like, there's always going to be things that get in the way or little road, you know, roadblocks or speed bumps or whatever. So I kind of like, almost in a weird way, I almost looked at it as like a good reason to be home. You know what I mean? Like, it was like a positive, not a positive thing because she was, you know, at the end of her life, but it was like, it gave me a purpose to be away. Like, I didn't feel guilty from being away from the road anymore. You know what I mean? Like, I just, yeah. for that whole, the rest of the whole of 2017, I was sitting there like, maybe we should get Beach Weather back together. Maybe I should put out a song. Maybe I should go and play some shows, you know, just in my head. And then like when all those other things happened, I was like, oh, well, this is where I'm supposed to be, you know, right now. And then like being home and being with my family and people that you don't really get to see that often when you're touring all the time. Like, I almost felt like I like had different relationships, you know, being home with my family for a year and a half at that point. Like, I felt like I knew everybody. I feel like I got to know everyone, including my parents and my sister and like, you know, my nephews and stuff. Like, I feel like my relationships changed in a good way because they were just used to, you know, their son and their brother being the guy on tour that they can tell their friends, like, this is my son. Isn't it great? Check out his record. Here's his album. Like, which is cool. Your parents are going to be proud of you and they're your number one fan. So like that, you know, that was really like the coal in the engine for me while I was touring, was like making my parents proud, making my family proud. But being home and becoming like a family man, like, you almost, I slowly stopped, like, they started like to focus less on my music career and more as like, you know, my family career, if that makes sense. And it was cool. It was cool to like see my dad, you know, just kind of look at me as like a different person. And not that he ever had negative thoughts, because he was proud of me being the rock and roll guy on tour, but to see him like look at me in a different light, it kind of like,
yeah, he got to know you after your 20s. Like,
yeah, exactly, whole, man. Like, my 20s, all of our 20s, yeah, were crazy. Like, I had, like, the 20s were fucking nuts.
You weren't around. School, like, you weren't home to like, yeah, experience. Like, it's like a couple days here, a couple days there, and then, you know.
Yeah, I mean, in 2008, I remember we were at we ended a tour and we were at Tim's house. It was right before Christmas. So we were at Tim's house, and I think I like found a bulldog on some website, and I bought this bulldog like puppy, and then I came home for Christmas, and I had a couple months of like hanging with this bulldog puppy. And then 2009 happened, where we had to like, you know, that's when we recorded our first album with Rocket, and that's when we went on the AP tour, right into Warped Tour, right into OP Tour, right into this. And then I came home from tour like 9 months later after leaving my dog with my parents, and it was a full-grown bulldog. You know what I mean? So like, yeah. I always kind of, even though it's just a dog, like, I still always had that in my head. Like, I don't want that to be my kid. You know what I mean? I don't want that to be one day like where I'm like kissing my 3-month-old on the forehead, going away for 6 months and coming home being like, holy shit, you say Dada now. Like, that's crazy, you know? Mm-hmm. I never want to be that guy. Not that it's a bad thing. There's plenty of people that can make that work. But me, in my head, I just knew I was going to be one of those guys that couldn't make it work. Because I would go on tour and forget to call my mom for like 3 weeks. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. And it wasn't like I thought I was better than that. I was just like, when I was on tour, I was on tour. And it wasn't like my family wasn't important. It was just like, this is what I'm focusing on. This is my schedule today. You know, and I would try to call when I could, but it was like, I hated that. I hated that priority being like backseat, you know, second priority. Well, not to say the music shouldn't be my priority, but I just felt like I was just all over the place, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, when you talk about like being on tour for like a year or for six months or something, it's like you guys were, you guys were hitting it so hard at that time.
We were at the beginning of it,
compared to us, you know, which I think like especially, you know,
and I mean you guys made Arizona a long period of time too, so like you've also paid your dues, like, you know.
I feel like because Arizona like was our home base, you know, it would be like we would go on tour for a month and a half, and then we'd be home for two months working on songs, but we didn't have that,
you know, yeah,
and like, all these things. So we're like for you, you guys would go on tour, then come back to Phoenix and work on an album for four months. go from the studio to another tour. And like, we
because that's the way that we had to ever like, you know, like that, Rocket, you know? Never, I think only maybe three times total Rocket got in a room and practiced like a fucking band. Like, our practice was either in the studio or on tour, you know, or we would like go on tour, but like the 2 days before the tour started, we'd fly to my house or Andrew's house or wherever the tour was closest to starting, and we'd practice there for a two, and we'd be like, okay, got the songs, let's go. And we never really had that like band. I mean, that was, I guess that's also from being in a band with people from all around the country. It's hard to get and meet in one place. And so, but like, you miss all that stuff. You miss the whole like getting in a room and jamming with the band. You know what I mean? Like, you guys had the luxury of doing that, and you guys have known each other forever. And it's not necessarily a bad thing to be in a band with people you don't know, but that's also like crazy for relationships and stuff. You know, like, I, when Rocket started, it was me and Halvo and Justin. Actually, Justin wasn't even there. It was me and Halvo and Lauren, and then like whoever we could have fill in on guitar. I think my buddy Chris filled in for a bit, and we had just some friends play. But it was weird because it was like Lauren and Halvo being from Arizona, me being from Boston, like two completely different places. And then like, yeah, we'd have similarities. We liked the same music. We liked the same this, that, and the other thing. But like, you can't like force relationships. You know what I mean? Like, that's why you guys were a band, because you knew each other in high school and it was a natural thing, and you're like, let's jam and see what happens. Where for us, it was like, I was on to something with the early Rocket stuff, and then like met Halvo and I met Lauren, and they were interested in playing in a band, and I was like, hell yeah, like, it's cool, you know, it's cool to have two guys from the West Coast play in my band. Like, you know what I mean? I was 18 or 19 at the time, so it's like, it's weird, it's a totally different thing to like, not to say like forced into a band, because we were never forced into it. We all wanted to be in a band with each other, but we didn't have the lifetime of experience with each other, you know, or the growing up together. Like, we, like, I think we like met, I met Lauren when he would play for Lydia or Austin Gibbs, when we used to go to those Austin Gibbs shows in Arizona. And I think like the next month he was like playing drums in my band, and we were in a van and getting to know each other on the first tour in the van. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, that's so weird. Like, to get to know your own bandmates in a van driving to the first show of your first tour. Like, so where did you guys, you know, it's so strange. It's so strange. And like, granted, I mean, me and Halvo were literally texting 2 minutes ago before, like, before you called about books. He was sending me book recommendations because we're old and weird now, but it's just weird. You know what I mean? Like, we didn't have that luxury of growing up and getting used to each and knowing somebody so well. We were just kind of figuring it out on the road. So that's where a lot of like, beef and, you know, turmoil came from, because like, people do things differently, you know, especially when you grow up 3,000 miles apart from each other. Like, you're gonna do things differently. You guys all drank out of water cups when you go to Chipotle, and I was like, what's wrong with paying $1.25 for a cup to get Coke? You know what I mean? Halvo was always the water cup guy. I always thought it was the weirdest thing. I'm like, I didn't even know what a fucking water cup is. You know, so it's like the littlest thing, you know, you're just like figuring each other out. You know, it's weird. And then like Beach Weather was no different. Like, I met Reeve when I was playing, Rocket was doing a headliner. I think it was our first headliner. And we played Rocket Town in Nashville. And Reeve was down there, living down there at the time, and he still does. But he came up to the show with a buddy or a girlfriend, and I think both actually. And like, he was just like probably 16 at the time. And he was just, hey dude, what's up with your pedals? Those are sweet. I love your amp. Oh, I love that Telecaster. Like, he was a nerd about music and gear. And I just like, after the show, we were just shooting the shit. And I showed him my pedals and I showed him my amp and let him like play one of my guitars and stuff. And I was like, he was like, I write songs. I was like, cool, man. Send me your songs. And I gave him my email, and he sent me a couple. And I was like, actually, this kid's pretty legit, you know? So when it came time to like Beach Weather, to do Beach Weather, I mean, I was like, Reeve was like, you know, someone that I talked to a lot at that point, just texting and showing song ideas back and forth. So like, another person not from Massachusetts, you know, not from my hometown, that I started a band with. And then same with Gates, like Austin, you, like Pat, you were the one that was like, hey, there's a kid that I went to high school with that like is looking to be in a band, you know? And then like, I think he sent me like a video of him playing drums, and I was like, yeah, this kid's awesome. And then we started talking, texting, you know, calling each other on the phone, like chatting about music. And then we hopped in a van. And with Beach Weather, it was different though. I don't know why, but we just like, we were just, I think it was because one of our first tours with Beach Weather was, it was over in Europe with Sleeping with Sirens. And that was like our first thing. We shouldn't have done it. It was booked originally for me to go solo and play Nick Santino songs. And then when I was on tour doing some solo shows with Sleeping with Sirens on their acoustic tour, I like showed them. I showed a couple of the guys some Beach Weather demos because we just had demos at that point. And they were like, yo, you should bring this to the UK with the, or to Europe next year. And said, like, no offense to your solo stuff, but like, this is way cooler and it will fit the vibe. You know what I mean? So I was like, hell yeah, we'll bring the three of us. So when we went to Europe for the first time, it was literally just me and Austin and Reeve. And we were sharing a Sprinter van with just Wildlife, who we had never met before. So it was just
a bunch of guys who don't know each other.
Yeah. And then this like crazy guy from Poland that was driving the van that we were just like, cool, you're going to drive us around for the next month. You know what I mean? And we would literally get, like, we had no money. We lost so much money on that tour. And, but it was fun. It was an experience. And we like had really good shows. And like, we were able to go back a second time and like bring people to a show in England, which is crazy because we're not from there. You know, it's always cool when you get to go back to another country and you're like, oh shit, people actually like us here. Like, it's wild. Yeah. But I remember we would like, you know, our hotels, we'd get one room with two beds, but the beds in those hotels are like,
they're tiny,
twin size college, you know, dorm beds. So we would literally push the beds together to make like a double bed. And Reeve would get the middle with the crack, and me and Austin would get the outside, and the three of us would sleep in the same pushed together bed. And like, we were just so loopy and always tired. And I think Austin and I got the flu for like 2 weeks while we were over there, and like, we were dying in the back of the van. But those like experiences brought us so close to each other that like, we were just having fun on every tour. And it sucked to kind of get that like negative mentality later on, you know, in 2017, because we were having such good times, for like my brain to all of a sudden be like, hey, be an asshole right now because you're grumpy about not being able to sleep last. You know what I mean? Stupid stuff started to get in the way between me and them, and it was weird. But
yeah, I mean, and you know, the thing with beach weather is like, it really happened so fast,
so quick. Like, I couldn't
from,
really
like,
control it. Yeah,
from the songs to the formation, and then like the success that you guys were having and all the opportunities that you were getting, it just like seemed like, you know, every time I would talk to Tim, I was like, oh, now they're gonna be on this tour, and the song has a million.
Yeah, meanwhile,
plays.
We're over like, here, like, oh shit, we gotta get it. We gotta learn these songs. You know what I mean? Like, we don't even know these songs. We recorded them for the first. That was it. Like, we hadn't even played together before we recorded songs together.
In my shed.
It's interesting. Yeah, in your shed, exactly. And like, I mean, I know bands are all formed in different ways and whatever, so there's no real like way to do it. There's no formula. There's no natural way. You know, obviously the most natural way is going to high school with a bunch of kids and starting a band in your garage, and 10 years, 20 years later, you're still going. Like, that's probably the most organic way of starting a band, but they don't all happen like that, you know? And so for us with Beach Weather, it just almost felt like we were like trying to keep up with demand. You know, we were still getting our shit together, but we're like, we got all these tours booked and like, we got to go do all this stuff. So it just felt like we were like putting the carriage before the horse, or whatever that saying is, you know, sometimes. But Beach Weather was awesome. We had a great time. It was a different, totally different vibe in that band, because I was the old guy, where in Rocket, I was the baby. I was the youngest one. And like, Andrew was the old guy that we always used to shit on for being the old guy. And then we started Beach Weather, and I was the old guy. And so everyone started shitting on me being the old guy. It was funny. It was a completely like opposite. It was like the opposite of what Rocket was doing, Beach Weather.
Yeah. And then, so, you know, after 2018, I guess the next year that, I guess the big thing that happened is you had your baby, right?
Yeah. So beginning of 2018, I got married, and then, Harry came, yeah, in January 2019. And that's like, I mean, Pat, you know, that's a game changer. Like, that's an emotion that you can't explain. You know what I mean? It's the weirdest thing. It's like, all of a sudden, something didn't exist, and then in a split second, it exists, and it changes your life. Like, and you're like, I don't even know what this emotion is. I can't even explain what this emotion is. You know what I mean? Like, I think I honestly, the one thing I do remember from when Harry was born is, like, I felt like my brain just went cloudy. Like, I felt like I couldn't remember what I've done the last 12 years. Like, I feel like it all just turned into like this like blurry little haze in my head. And I was like, it doesn't matter. None of that fucking matters. You know, this is important right now. And I just like, in this like split second, I felt like I just saw the future, and my brain just stopped dwelling on the past, you know? And it was like, I don't know, it was weird. It was like the drug I needed to, like, you know, kick me out of the fucking weird rhythm that I was in before. And it's crazy. Every single day, like, it changes my life, you know? It teaches you everything. It teaches you patience. It teaches you honesty. It teaches you, you know, how to just be a better person. Like, it made me start paying attention to politics, because I was always too stubborn to pay attention to politics. But, like, now I'm like, I want to know what world my kid's going to grow up in, you know? Like, yeah, it makes you a different person completely, and in all the best ways. Like, I don't know. I recommend it. Have a kid.
No, I mean, it is kind of, you know, one of those things that I, you know, it's very hard to talk about, because if somebody hasn't experienced that, they don't, you just can't really put it into words, you know. I think the closest thing that I could, you know, explain as to how it feels is, it just feels like that's what is supposed to happen with the world, you know. It's like, right? you're supposed to continue the race of humanity, and it feels like you are, like, doing your purpose,
doing
you know?
Your part almost. And, like, yeah. for my family too, my dad, so me, my dad, and my cousin Billy are the only three Santino, like, living Santino men in our family, in our bloodline. You know what I mean? My dad had two brothers, and they both died when they were younger. My dad's dad died when he was a teenager. You know what I mean? And my cousin never had kids. Like, we have a small family. So, like, for a while, it was, like, this weird, like, oh, when I'm gone, that's the last of the Santino name, you know what I mean? It literally dies with me. And so when we had Harry, it was like, it was cool. It was like, oh, and it was almost like meant to be, you know, just to add another person to, like, help my family grow, you know. It's strange, but it's wild, man. Every single day, though, it's so cheesy, but every single day, me and Ree will just look at each other and be like, I just fucking love this kid. Like, he'll do something and you're just like, I love this kid. Like, look at him, he's standing on the couch over there, he's not even doing anything, but, like, I just love him, you know. It's cool. Yeah. It's the weirdest thing. Like, you get a dog, you get a new guitar, they bring you some happiness. You're like, oh, this is the coolest thing ever. But something, it surprises you every day, you know, growing with this person that trusts you. And it's crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's incredible. And I, you know, obviously for you compared to me, you know, like, you've had much, much more time and have seen the bigger development, you know, from
right
now, you know, she's under 2 months old, so, you know, it isn't like there's been that much of a change, but just, like, you know, after a month, when
day,
she learned to smile, and it's like, oh my god, that's the greatest thing ever.
Yeah, I remember, like, the first time the kid laughed, and we were like, oh my god, he's laughing right now. This is crazy. You know, everything every day
incredible.
Is like a new surprise. It's wild. Now Harry's at the point where, like, if one of us says shit, he'll go, shit. And we're like, oh, no more saying shit around the house, you know.
Yeah. Oh, man.
It, like, teaches you to be, I don't know, like, it teaches you a lot of things. It's crazy. You can't even describe what it teaches you. It just makes you, like, want to be it forces you to be a better person or a different person, and I don't know, it's awesome. I love it.
So how far along, like, after having him, did you have the desire to, like, want to kind of get back into working on songs? And, you know, I feel like when we did the shows with you on the mirror tour and in Brazil, you know, it was like, it was totally different than it was playing with you before, where, you know, it just kind of felt like you were just excited to be there and happy for the opportunity and kind of just in the moment and not really concerned about what was going to happen next. And, you know, it was an extra addition to your life as opposed to your entire life,
right? And I think, like, the two things that, like, I felt when I started doing those shows with you guys, like, last year, was, like, half of me was excited to be there because I hadn't done it in a few years, so it was just that, like, you know, desire to get back on stage and that excitement of like doing it again. But the other half was like, this, I had this excitement, like this nervous excitement, like I didn't know what I was doing in the best way possible. You know what I mean? And it was like, that's when I really noticed or felt like, in a way, I was like starting from scratch again. But you know what I mean? Like, I felt like I finally like freed myself from the ties of like, you know, my past or whatever I've done in the past or whatever good or bad things have happened to me, you know? And I felt like it was almost like a clean slate, like playing these shows, like especially playing them with you guys, because you're just my friends. Like, we're not just guys that play music together sometimes. And like, we're buddies. So to go to Brazil, that was like my first thing, I think, right? Was Brazil. Mm-hmm. So like, to not only not play shows for a few years, but to like hop on a plane and go like very far away from home with like a 6 month old at home, like it was nerve wracking. But the second I saw you guys when I landed in LA and we met up, like the second I saw you guys, I was like, fuck yeah, I love this shit. Like, why did I stop doing this? You know? And but there was also this like feeling of like this like balance feeling. Like, I was excited to do it again, but I wasn't excited like, oh, I want to do this every day for the next 2 years. It was like, this was really fun. I can see a way that I can make this work again that fits like my current lifestyle. You know what I mean? And that was almost exciting, like more exciting, because I was like, I know I can do this, but I know I can do this in a way that's not going to make me go crazy after a while, you know?
I mean, we definitely talked about that in Brazil, of just being like, I remember you're like, this is really awesome, but I really was hairy, like super bad. And I was like, I get it, man. Totally. But
I also became a big stoner over the last 4 years.
That's true. You did become a big stoner.
So I think with one thing with like me starting to smoke weed is I feel like it made me like this like empathetic person. Like, I just felt like I felt for everybody. You know what I mean? Where I wasn't really like that before. Like, I really only put myself first, and it sucks to be like that, you know? But then like after, I felt like I would be, you know, rekindling old flames and like trying to rebuild some old bridges that I might have burnt down on my own, you know. Like, I felt like I was reaching out to, you know, like I remember talking to Lauren, my old drummer, and I just remember being a little high but being like, dude, I'm sorry I was an asshole to you back in those days in the van. Like, I was a kid and I didn't know what the hell I was doing, and I was just, you know, lashing out at stupid things. And like, I felt like I couldn't really come to terms with that until I started to like smoke weed and be paranoid in my head, and then being like, man, you were an asshole back in, you know what I'm saying? I don't know. I like it definitely changed my perspective on a lot of things, and to be able to do it and be home in like a comfortable environment rather than smoking weed and partying and being on tour and, you know, back lounge of the bus and like all that. Like, I missed all that. I missed out on all that stuff. I never even really drank when I was on tour. I never smoked weed until, you know, I got home from tour. And like, I don't know. It's crazy. It's like, I mean, I do have those like crazy tendencies where I have certain days where I'm just like, you know, I'm fucking mad at the world or whatever, but I feel like they're a lot less and far between than they were before. You know, I just feel like I'm in a different spot mentally and, you know, everything now. And it's nice. And I know the world is like, you know, everybody talks about mental health and mental awareness, like all that stuff. But I don't know. I feel like people need to start taking it like more seriously rather than just tweeting about it, rather than it just being a hashtag. You know what I mean? Like, really focus on yourself. Really try to fix yourself if you think that something needs to be fixed. You know, like, really pay attention to the things that you, you know, don't like about yourself or you don't like about other people, and you try to figure out why that is. You know what I mean? Like, it's really fucking hard, but like, I feel like over time, if you're willing to put some time into like fixing yourself, it's just like working out. It's just like learning piano. It's just like, you know, it's just like anything. It's learning. It's like, you just got to get good at it, and you're never really going to get good at improving yourself, but there's always ways of just feeling better. And I feel like for some reason, like, I don't know, I embrace a lot more positivity, and I just looked at things differently. And having a kid definitely shifts your focus on a lot of things, and makes you really like look at your priorities. You know, it makes you look at like, oh, all that shit I was doing is stupid. Like, I don't need to do that. Not music, but just other things or whatever the case is. Like, I don't know. It just makes you shift the way you look at everything. And I think if you can start, it goes back to like what I said before, like there's two versions of you. There's the you that everybody sees from their perspective, and they think, you know, they have you figured out. And then there's the you that you have to deal with every single day, you know, in your, like, you don't get a break. You go to sleep and you're in your dreams, dreaming about all the, you know, stupid shit you've done in the past, or you're anxious about stuff that's going to happen in the future. Like, you don't get a break from your own head, where, like, you play a show or you go on tour or you do whatever, and then you come home from that, and then those people have a break from you, but you don't get a break from yourself, you know? So, like, really focus on yourself is very important, especially the day, you know, nowadays, where everybody's so glued to their phones and Twitter and Instagram and everything. And it's like, you can just, you just see these people that have all these amazing things, and you're like, why don't I have these things? You know, why isn't my life as cool as Justin Bieber's? He has a yacht. And it's like, you don't need a yacht to be happy. You just need to feel good to be happy. You know what I mean? Like, I gotta,
do you feel like you eventually just have to kind of hold yourself accountable for how you were being? And
definitely. And then that was a change. Yeah, I mean, I don't want to keep talking about me smoking weed, because it's such a funny thing, but like, that's the one thing that I noticed. Like, when I first started smoking, like, I would have those bad highs where all of a sudden you're like, oh my God, what's going on? But then the more that I would, like, have those, like, panicky highs, I realized it was just, you get so alone in your thoughts when you're stoned, you know? And Garrett, I know that you've had those bad highs before.
That's why I don't do it anymore.
To the point where you're like, I don't want to smoke anymore. But, like, the more, it was weird. I almost, like, embraced those bad panic highs, like, because I felt like when I would sit there and I would dwell on something, and that's what, like, that's when the panic would set in, because I would dwell on something that I wish I could have done differently or whatever the situation was. But then, like, the more times that I would find myself, like, panicking or dwelling on it, the less that I felt, like, affected by it. And it was almost like I broke through this wall, you know, one step at a time. I kept calling myself out on my own bullshit, to the point where I was just like, oh, that doesn't really bother me anymore. And I've moved on from that, you know, where before I feel like I never could move on from things. You know what I mean? Like, I felt like I would always be like, why did the Maine get that tour 3 years ago when we should have got, you know what I mean? Stupid fucking things that, like, your ego steps up in front of who you really are. Mm-hmm. And, like, I don't know, separating those two. And your ego isn't always a bad thing. Like, people need an ego to survive. Like, that makes you you, and that makes your personality, you know, what it is. But there's like a healthy way of dealing with it, and there's a toxic way of dealing with it.
And I mean, I guess kind of what you're saying, and, you know, this is something that I've experienced before with doing other things, but, you know, you're saying that kind of like these things that you perceive as a panic or a negative thing when you're getting high is actually just bringing some truth to the surface that is just really hard to face, which is why it's perceived as a panic.
Exactly. It was all stuff that I never wanted to face, and then I forced myself to face it.
For sure. Which is like,
Harry just came into the room, and now he's sitting on my lap. Say hi.
Hi, Harry.
Hey, still Harry. Nervous.
Oh, my. You smell like poop. You have a poop in there?
Did you?
That's why he came over.
Did you crap him?
He crapped the pants.
He's like, Dad, get off the phone. I need you to change me.
But, I mean, I don't really mean it like everybody needs to get high to experience that. For me, that was what did it for me. I had one weird high where I was like, oh shit, I'm too high right now. But then I was like, oh, remember that one thing you did? But you shouldn't have done that. And then the next time it happened, I was like, oh, I don't really feel that shitty about that thing anymore, because I kind of called myself out on it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, just being your friend since you started smoking, and it's a much different person to be around. It seems like a more calm, happier, just, not that you weren't happy before, but
And I mean, I do feel like it's a medicine, and I feel like, I mean, when I was with Beachweather, it was like, I had a Xanax prescription, and I was just fucking like relying on those to make me feel anything throughout the day. You know what I mean? Like, I would eat them before I even eat food. Like, that was my priority, you know? And to, like, stop doing that and then, like, find something like I don't know, weed, like it helped me. And these days I feel like I smoke too much weed, so I'm trying to like chill out a little bit on it. But it's like, I don't know, it never really did anything bad for me. If anything, I felt like it helped me a little bit. Weird.
Yeah. And I mean,
see you, Harry. you know, and like what you were talking about before with, you know, like with how much time we're spending on our phones, and people like comparing, you know, themselves to other people. And, you know, I feel like, you know, there definitely was a time where you were certainly very concerned about those things. You know, you were buying a bunch of guitars to fill some type
to overcompensate.
Thing.
Yeah, overcompensate, for sure.
And you wanted to hang out with the cool people in LA, and you wanted to.
It literally makes me sick to my stomach. Like, I feel like it was a different person. Like, I feel like I look at that person, I'm like, what the fuck? It's weird.
And, you know, and to like go from that to like, to, you know, to be somebody, which is what everybody is. Like, yeah. But you know, you kind of went from an extreme to the other extreme, where then you erased your Instagram and erased everything and kind of went into just being a human that didn't need any of that outside thing
and
to make them.
In like the first 2 months happy. Of me deleting it, I would cheat and I would look, and I would, you know, every like week I'm like, I need to get my fix, and I would get the scrolls, and then it was like, you're caught up, and I was like, fuck, that's not enough, you know. But after a while, just forcing myself to not give a shit, I stopped paying attention to it. Like, I found other things. That's when I picked up piano. Like, I would just sit at the piano for hours, you know, because at that point Harry wasn't born, so I could sit there all day playing music, and it was cool. It was like, I mean, and social media is not a bad thing, but it can be a very bad thing, you know. It's not bad for everybody. It's just the way you use it, you know. Like, it's a great tool for a lot of people, and it's, like, also very easy to abuse, you know?
Oh, totally.
Yeah. Yeah, and then, I mean, I think that's what's cool about you coming back now, and, you know, and putting out a song for the first time in a while and being back on the internet, and is that now you can kind of find a balance that you hadn't had before, you know?
Definitely, yeah. I mean, nowadays I lose my phone because I'm like, where the fuck is my phone? And then I in like the little kid ball pit that we have in the living room because Harry stole it. You know, but before it was like that thing was glued to my hand or my pocket, no matter where I was. You know, I'd go into the bathroom or the kitchen or wherever it was, and my phone was right there. And nowadays I'm like, shit, I haven't seen my phone in like 3 hours. Where the hell is it? You know,
which is great. And so I guess a big thing that people are gonna want to know, and I'm kind of like interested myself, is where do you see this going? Like, do you have do you want to play shows? Do you want to put out an album, or are you just kind of, you know, putting out these songs and seeing what happens?
I mean, I'm putting out the songs to see what happens, obviously, but like, I kind of have the itch to like work on more. And like I said, before you called, I was trying to record some new idea that I had, you know, last week or whatever that I started, but it's like, I don't really know. I was just talking to Joey, my buddy, Joey Pants, right before this too. And I said like, hey, you want to join my band? It's not like we're going to be going on tour anytime soon, but like, you want to be in my band? And he was like, fuck yeah, I want to be in your band. You know? Me and Joey have been playing music together since we were in high school. You know, he's one of our oldest friends. But I have the urge to do it. You know, if there's shows that, you know, that just so happen to want me on them, like, I'm down to do it. But I just don't know how much like constant touring I want to get back into. You know, maybe down the road when Harry's a little older and like he can come out on some of those or whatever. But I mean, for now, I'm like, I don't see what's wrong with just putting out music. I feel like, at the end of the day, people just, no matter who it is, they want to hear music. And like, and then shows and going to concerts are just like another plus, you know, that they get from listening to that music. But it all starts with the music. And like, I'm always writing nowadays. Like, I feel like the first, I think 2017, I didn't pick up a guitar after Beach Weather. I didn't pick up a guitar. I didn't sing a note. Like, I didn't open a recording program. I didn't do anything because I just felt burnt out. And then like 18, I started writing on piano more. 19 was like, that's when I really got into writing full songs again. And like, I felt like I rediscovered myself as like a songwriter, writing songs the way that I was writing the, like the last year. And so now I just have like a different confidence in me where I'm like, yeah, I want to play shows because like, I can't wait to play the songs that I've been writing. You know what I mean? Or like, I don't know. It's a different thing. Like I have the urge to play for sure. I don't know what those shows will be or when they will be because we'll see how the world changes over the next few months. But I mean, I definitely have the urge. I definitely want to put more music out. Like seeing people react to even just the one song so far is like, oh yeah, there's still people that care. You know, because it's so easy. Well, for me it was, but it's so easy to like think that no one gives a shit. You know, like I don't know why. I just, I'm like, you're your worst critic, and I feel like I am like the top of the list of people who are their own worst critic and worst enemy. You know, like I feel like everything that I did, no matter how successful it was or how cool it was, I was never fully satisfied by it. You know,
see, that was what and, was cool at the DC show that you played with us is like when you played, it seemed like everyone was like, everyone in the room was excited to hear what you were doing. And I just remember watching you that day and be like, fuck yeah, Nikki's back.
Yeah. And I just remember even feeling like, oh, I missed this. I missed not even so, like, I looked at it from a different perspective too, where like, I didn't miss so much. Like I didn't really necessarily miss like the fact me being on stage all nervous in front of a bunch of people, but I missed the energy. Like once that all started and people started singing, I was like, hell yeah, this is why you make music. This is like, I think I wrote it in a little statement that I typed up, but like that's when I really started to look at music as therapy. And I know that's like cheesy and whatever, but like it really is. And it's therapy for the people that listen to your music. It's therapy for you writing your music. Like, and I never really looked at it like that. And I know that's dumb because like it's poetry, and if you're writing songs, you know, you're probably writing from a place, but like, I don't know, a lot of Rocket songs were like me and Justin writing songs. So like writing a personal song when you're writing with a writing partner sometimes is difficult because you both don't have that same experience. You know what I mean? You're not like, hey, Justin, let me explain to you this whole personal thing that I went through, like, let's write this song. So you kind of just end up writing like good songs, but songs that are just like love songs or not specifically about a certain thing. And like, I think getting in touch with yourself and then starting to like let the honesty flow, then you're like, oh, I see why people react to my, because even back in the day when people would say like, your songs changed my life, and I'm like, which one? Like Mr. Right, that changed your life? Like how? You know, where now it's like people are like, this song is literally what I need, and I feel that because it is literally what I needed when I wrote it. You know what I mean? Where before totally. It wasn't really like that. When I wrote those songs before, it was like, this is a catchy song. People are going to like this song. Let's put it out. And now I'm like, I don't care if this isn't that great of a song, but it made me cry the first time I played it through. So like, it means something to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So to go back to like the shows, I feel like if you can like copy and paste that emotion, like that's how I feel about moving forward and playing shows. Like I want to do them if they're special shows and like, you know, and people are going to come and want to hear what I'm doing. And you know what I mean? Like that's what I'm down. And I know you guys will always provide me some sort of outlet because the 8123 crew is incredible, like fan base and everything, you know?
Yeah. Well, we're just so pumped. I think I could, you know, just from seeing on the internet and everything, like I think everybody's just so excited to have you back and have you be a part of this whole thing again. And, it feels good. And I can't wait. I hope we can make an album again together.
I would love to. I know we've talked about it forever and like, that's what I'm waiting for. Cause like, I think the recording that I'll do is probably what you're hearing. Like, you know, I'm just going to try to keep it very organic and natural, but when it comes to like recording drums and bass and real instruments, like that's something I want to do with you guys in the studio. Like we did it before and it was fucking awesome. So why not do it again now that we're a little older and know what we're doing? Kind of.
For sure.
Well, hell yeah. Awesome.
Well, dude, thanks for doing this for the eighth time.
Of course. I love doing this. I love talking to you guys.
It's awesome. Well, hell fuck yeah. Well, yeah, if people haven't heard, there's a new Nick Santino song out everywhere, and you just put up merch for the first time.
Key pre-order, yeah.
Yeah. So,
hell yeah.
Sick. Hell yeah.
Thank you, Nicky.
I love you guys a lot.
Love you a lot. All the time.
I've like almost known you guys half of my going on almost half my life. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But when
we
meet, it's 2007.
I think
is when I first flew out there. It is wild. That's wild.
Yeah.
It's insane. It's so crazy. I said
that to Tim the other day. I was like, I've pretty much talked to you every day over the last like 14 years. I mean, there was a little gap where we like kind of went our separate ways, but. Like, that was just a little hiccup, you know? And now it's, like, it's crazy. It's wild. There's not many people that I have in my life that, like, I talk to on a daily basis, especially people that live in a completely different part of the country, you know?
Yeah.
Wild. Because you have your touring friends and you have your close home friends, and it's, like, you guys were never my touring friends, and you weren't necessarily my home friends because we don't live in the same place, but if you had to be in a category, I feel like you're more of my home friends than touring friends, you know?
Oh, for sure.
Oh, for sure.
Awesome.
Yeah. It's just cool to like see how everything's evolved, and it all feels like, you know, we've known each other forever, but then also seems like we just met, and like to think that like we both have kids. I mean, you know, I would say that it's like, 2007 that if people were to bet like out of our whole like crew, you know, who would have been the first to have kids, I don't think that anybody would have picked us.
I know, right?
I wouldn't have.
That's so funny. Well, here we are, you know,
awesome.
12 years later or whatever.
Couple dads.
Now we're texting about like how it's awesome when you put on a diaper and like you do it like super fast, you know?
Yeah, right. Well, I love you guys. Awesome. Thanks for calling me.
Yeah.
For having me on.
Thanks for doing this, man.
Of course. Anytime. Just call me. I'm always around.
Cool.
Hell yeah. Cool.
Cool.
We will talk very soon.
Cool. Be safe and enjoy your solitude and your quarantine.
Yeah. You too. say hi to the fam.
I will, man. See you guys. I love you.
Later.
Bye.
Bye.